It's Thought Leader Thursday here in the Opening Bell. Brett McKittrick is here. He's the SVP and Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, which is part of Associated Bank. Brett, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be back.
A couple of timely conversations. Recently, Canada legalized marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Number of states have also done it here in the United States, more considering it. And the opioid crisis front and center recently with the return of the Roseanne show on TV, where she dies of an opioid overdose.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are big in the news. It brings us to the question, how are companies handling this and what's the impact on business?
Sure. Well, certainly organizations have had to deal with alcohol use and drug use in the workplace. And some organizations, such as maybe those that have DOT drivers, really have to deal with that, that kind of a problem. To your point, it's rearing its ugly head now with the rise in opioid use and the legalization of marijuana, because businesses now have to account for what their employees are maybe doing off the job and how that affects their behavior and performance in the workplace. They've never really had to go through that before.
One of them, obviously, would be, depending on the state, illegal and potentially deadly is the opioid, somebody who has an opioid problem. How does a company's HR department even begin to suspect that and then deal with that?
Opioid use is very hard to detect. Or, for instance, the symptoms of someone who is addicted to a drug may start off as maybe a minor performance issue or being late to work or excessive absences or lack of what we call, as we've talked about here on the show, presenteeism mm-hmm. in the workplace. And that's just where it begins. It's very hard for managers to maybe say, well, does this person have a drug problem, or do they have another kind of a problem, or are they just slacking off at work, or are they working two jobs? There's a million different things that might account for some of those small performance-related issues. Unfortunately, when it becomes noticeable in the workplace, oftentimes it is too late. So HR departments and managers have the heightened sense of being able to or being charged with reasonably suspecting someone on drugs and subjecting them to their drug testing or drug addiction policy that they might have in the workplace.
And that varies from company to company, I'm guessing, the drug testing policy.
Yes.
It's not like the Constitution rules over this. It depends on your company policy. You could come in one morning and the boss could say, hey, you have to do a drug test.
Yeah. You know, you're exactly right, first of all. Some states, now Illinois does not have a strict drug testing law. Let's say Minnesota, for instance. It has very strict drug testing laws for employers to follow. So some states are a little stricter than others in what employers can do. But to your point, employers are going to test someone post-accident, for instance, upon reasonable suspicion. If they've been known to have a drug problem in the past, a random test, those are all reasons to test someone. Now, you can't just go testing everybody every week. You know, this isn't Major League Baseball, right? And because it's very costly to do, plus you lose trust with amongst your employees.
Can this become a fireable offense? Because I'm guessing if you're addicted to an opioid, wouldn't you have some protection there as an employee?
Yeah, great question. So let's take that example. Both state law in Illinois, as well as the American with Disabilities Act, does protect employees who suffer from a chronic medical condition or, you know, a disability. Drug addiction or alcoholism is such a chronic medical condition. Now, that doesn't give you a reason or an excuse to be high at work. And so what we're seeing with opioid use and marijuana use as well is that's becoming, as we mentioned, legalized in many states. An employer can't dictate or police what an employee does off the job, right? And so if a person is an opioid user, but it never affects that individual at work, it's hard to really test that individual. And maybe the employer doesn't really care. Again, at some point in time, it will affect the individual in the workplace. They can test. They can terminate if that person is high on the job or under the influence at work.
I know this has become, the marijuana part of this has become a real issue in some of these states that have legalized marijuana. We recently had a CEO in of a construction company in a state where he was talking about his operations in a state where there is legal marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
His workers come in and use heavy construction equipment. He's had to remove them from those positions, and then finding new employees, making sure that that screening process is in place. This is a headache, a big headache.
It certainly is. And managers, HR departments for sure, but managers, supervisors, they're on site, like in your construction example. They are now having to be trained as to what to watch for from a reasonable suspicion standpoint.
The marijuana part of that, I always think of, it's the same sort of as alcohol. I mean, if you can legally drink alcohol and you can legally smoke marijuana, you do it off duty and don't come to work drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it. And if it's not affecting your performance in the workplace, why should your employer care? And I think that's where a lot of employees are coming from.
Are we going to see this, both of these issues addressed more in our HR materials that we get when we're hired at companies? And will there be maybe training that will happen among employees going forward on this stuff?
I think so. Certainly a lot of employers through their EAP, employee assistance programs, are already sort of getting ahead of the ball, so to speak, by providing training, education courses, what to watch for from opioid addiction standpoint.
One of the other issues that's in the news recently, background checks. Mm-hmm. We saw with the Kavanaugh hearing on Capitol Hill, the FBI doing a background check, going back into that. But this is something that employers do regularly when they hire people, is background checks. What's new in this area?
Well, it's much harder. There's a couple of things. It's much harder for employers to really gauge what's important. So, for instance, the state of Illinois, as well as Cook County and the city of Chicago, all have laws preventing employers from asking about arrest records. And certainly they can't discriminate against an employee for being arrested. Now, they also cannot ask about conviction or do a background check prior to an interview, or if there's no interview, prior to the conditional offer of employment. So there's steps in place in which an employer has to follow before they can even ask someone about their criminal background history.
So that background check, the criminal background check, would happen after you've been offered the job? Is that how that works?
In most cases, yeah. And it's conditioned. The offer is more or less conditioned on you passing that background check. Now, it's very difficult for employers to sort of ascertain what's maybe germane or important. You know, if 25 years ago I had a public intox misdemeanor while I was in college, mm-hmm. does that really affect my job to, or my ability to do that job today? As opposed to if I was convicted of assault and battery charge and now I'm going to work at a preschool.
Right. Is this becoming a bigger issue now because of how tight the job market is? We saw the recent job openings and labor turnover survey hit a record, 7.1 million job openings. Mm-hmm. It's becoming harder and harder to find jobs. And you have to maybe look at some populations that you would normally not look at.
You're exactly right. And employers are now having to play lawyer or play police officer in the sense of trying to figure out, well, what's that conviction really mean? And is it sort of a victimless crime, so to speak? And, yeah, okay, we'll let that slide because we need to fill that role.
What would your advice be for both employees and employers going forward on this?
From an employee standpoint, be honest.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get points for fooling anybody. And so because the job market is so tight, if you're honest and upfront, an employer is allowed to ask you at that point in time that we mentioned about your criminal past and about your conviction, be honest about that situation. And a lot of times the employer, you as an employee, you may force the employer's hand to taking a chance on you. From the employer side of things, it's more or less, number one, follow the rules that we just talked about, but also be careful of what you're, you know, be careful what you're looking for because you might have to deal with what you find. And that goes with maybe checking someone on social media, for instance. You know, employers now are looking at social networking sites, you know, the Twitter accounts, the Facebook pages of their prospective employees.
It's interesting you bring that part up because that's been in the news recently too. Mm-hmm. The question of where do you check? Where does a company check? What social media sites? And how far back do they check? If there are people now in the job market that may have been tweeting in high school, and they're now adults, is it fair for a company to go back that far and looking?
Yeah, great question. First of all, there are rules in place as far as what an employer can do. So, for instance, in the state of Illinois, you're not allowed to ask on an employment application, what's your Twitter handle? So, you know, the employer's got to find that stuff out on their own. Now, to your point about how far back do they go, and again, be careful what you're looking for, because you're going to have to deal with what you find. We see it crop up in every sort of NBA or NFL draft. Where, yeah. Right, that happened this last year, where someone has said something. I think in that case, it was making disparaging racial comments back when the individual was in high school. Now, it was pretty close time period for that individual. I think employers do have to take into context maybe things that they wouldn't necessarily have to think of when they're looking at a prospective hire. Background, where that person's from, for instance, how long ago it was, what maybe led to those types of comments is tricky.
And then, you know, if you're an employee and you know that there's potentially some questionable stuff there, you go back and delete it, and your employer finds it after it's deleted. Again, that goes back to the honesty part of it, but mm-hmm. It also goes back to, hey, I've changed. I've cleaned that part up. Is it something that an employee should just be honest about and say, hey, there was this thing out there and I deleted it?
Yeah, no? maybe so, depending on how bad it is. and that's the thing. Employees don't often know what the employer does behind the scenes. They don't know how far they are going back, or even if they're checking those sort of things. I think to a large degree, again, because of the tight job market, honesty is the best policy. Now, if it's something you wrote a long, long time ago, you deleted a long time ago, it's maybe off your own radar, wait for the employer to bring it up.
Are more companies coming up with social media policies to handle current instances? So they may not necessarily police what their people are doing on social media, but if I say something bad on my Twitter account, could that get me fired?
It's possible. It depends on what it is. There's laws in place. The National Labor Relations Act prohibits an employer from having a policy that says you can't badmouth your boss or you can't complain about wages, right? Just in general. You know, you and I are talking around the water cooler. They can't have a policy in place saying we can't talk about our wages or how much we earn or our job conditions. That extends to social media. So if I go on social media and say my boss at Associated is really riding me and she's unreasonable, that's fair game. Now, if I go and disparage Associated, or I make comments, maybe let's say racially charged comments, going back to the football example, you know, those are things that Associated social media policy might look at and say, no, you're representing the bank here. And ultimately, that's a bad look for us. And they can police some of the things that you say.
And back to the training part of it, I'd love there to be a training module for employees to know what's right and what's wrong, because I think most people don't know where that line is sometimes. It'd be helpful to know that.
You're exactly right. And it really starts what we do, and part of my job is to train the trainer. You know, make sure the leaders of an organization and the HR department really understand what the problem is. And then we can work with them to develop tools to train their employees as to what's acceptable and what's not.
You know, back to the tight job market, are companies thinking twice and maybe three times before they fire somebody nowadays? Because of how tight it is, regardless of what the problem is?
Yeah. It's strangely difficult to be fired. Because of the hassle, the turnover.
Right.
You know, it's costly to terminate someone, and it's costly to find someone, and to your point, even harder to find someone. Now, you know, you show up to work drunk, you steal, those are terminal offenses. But we're seeing employees have longer leashes in terms of performance, whereas in the past, maybe it wouldn't have flown.
No. Brett, always good conversation. How can people contact you if they want to have this conversation one-on-one?
Well, my email address is my first name, B-R-E-T, dot my last name, McKittrick, at AssociatedBank.com. We do have another website called AssociatedBRC.com. That's our consulting website. You can find out more information there as well.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Brett McKittrick, SVP and Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, part of Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. We do them every Thursday. You can listen to our past conversations at WGNRadio.com, and you can also follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter, and head over to AssociatedBank.com/Thought Leadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there as well.